It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back, everybody, to the SIG Podcast Recruits Draftcast. Folks, we're in mid-March, and you know what that means. A month from now, it's the U18 tournament starting up. So we're going to get into that a little bit, maybe some predictions about Team Canada, which players could make the team, all of that stuff we'll dig into. As always, we're going to get to Rocco's Riser of the Week a little bit later. We have our Prospect of the Week, and for our Habs fans, we can't let you down. We got our Habs Prospect of the Week ready to go. So let's get started.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. Recruits Draft Cast.
And with the first overall selection in the 2023 NHL Draft, the Chicago Blackhawks are very proud to select from the Regina Pats, the Western Hockey League, Connor Bedard.
The sickest NHL draft and scouting podcast. It's gonna be sick.
All right, producer Shane here, joined by my fantastic co-host, Grant McCagg, Rocco Zappia. Gentlemen, how are we today?
Doing good. How you doing?
Can't
complain. You should alter that, with the first overall pick, the Chicago Blackhawks are pleased to select and then put in David Reinbacher with...
it would just be Carey Price stumbling to say his name. That's what it would be. David, anyways, we're forgetting about that one. Poor Carey.
Oh, that's
he meant
true.
Well. Huh? He meant well. David is now with the Laval Rocket. We're not going to get into that too much because... he hasn't even played a game yet. But anyways, he's out of Kelowna. Habs fans, rejoice, okay? It's that nightmare is over. We can move on to better things now. And I'm pretty sure he's going to be pretty happy about that to actually get some wins for once. So guys,
hopefully
April 25th is the start date for the U18s tournament. It's playing in Finland this year, hosted in, correct me if I'm wrong, Espoo and Vantaa in Finland. I'm sure I butchered that, but doesn't matter. We're here to talk hockey. So last year, we know the U.S., they won the gold. Ryan Leonard, overtime thriller, right? Sweden came in second with Canada finishing third. This year, Grant, you think Canada has a much better shot, and you actually prepared us a potential lineup depending on where their junior teams are situated in the rankings. So I'll let you take over.
Okay. The last 2 years, I was having a look. They had four guys that were picked in the first round of the draft combined. This year, there could be like 10 plus guys on the team that are first round picks this year alone. Mm-hmm. Last 2 years, it was four altogether. So just the loads more talent. Potential talent this year. Now, these are the, when it says Canada U 18 possibilities, these guys, there's a decent chance every one of these players is on a team that's ranked fifth or lower in their conference for the playoffs. And it's taking place a little later this year. So the first two rounds, they're players from the first two rounds of the CHL playoffs are going to be available, which they hadn't been the last two or three years, COVID and all the different reasons they picked most of the players, just from non-playoff teams. Well, this year they're going to be able to wait and get guys from as late as after the end of the second round. So that makes a lot more players available, right? So these are all guys that, I mean, if you're a fifth-ranked team in your conference, odds are, first of all, you probably lose in the first round, but if you don't, you're going to play the top-ranked team likely in your conference, and the odds are that you're going to lose, right? So all of these guys are likely going to be available when Canada's making their picks. And, I mean, there's obvious players like Katten, Aginla, right? Luchenko. I mean, all those guys could be top 20 picks. Michael Hague from Chicago, who we'll be talking about a little later, he's a, you know, he's a really good possibility. Chicago's not very good this year, so he'll likely be available. Ryder Ritchie, who was very good in the summer. Marcus from Lethbridge. You know, Boisvert's another guy from the USHL that may or may not, team may or may not make it. Green Tree, obviously, you know, probably a top 15 pick. Windsor, so good chance there. And then, you know, there's Malcolm Spence, Roger McQueen, and our two guys that played in the summer and were really good, you know, excellent, actually. And they're the two underage guys that I see having a good chance of being picked again. Last year and the year before, there were five or six underage guys. And because there's so much draft-eligible talent available for this year's team, I really don't think that there's going to be more than, you know, two or maybe three. But McQueen and Spence, for sure, if their teams are eliminated, are going to be there. And also on the second list, there's another guy that we'll bring up. But at forward especially, like, you look at that group, it can be just like, compared, U.S. isn't going to be as strong this year. Sweden, I mean, I can't see another team competing with Canada if they send this, you know, anything close to this squad. Like, there's guys that are going to be second-round picks that may not even make the team this year. Yeah. It's just incredibly deep and high quality. Like, you know, the defense is going to be, and goal aren't necessarily great. But that up front, man, the forward talent goes really deep that could be available for this year's team. Like, I mean, guys like Massey and Patterson are long shots, and geez, they, you know, they might get drafted in the second round or certainly early in the third. So you look at that group, there's a lot of guys that played in the summer. Like, I put Frank Morelli and Chris Aforo on there because they played at the Hlinka. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Morelli had like a top four role. So even though he's not a, probably going in the top three rounds of the NHL draft, because of that, because of his past with Hockey Canada, they like to bring back guys that been there, done that, you know, played well for them in the past. So he'll be a good possibility for getting picked if Ottawa, you know, doesn't make it past the second round. A lot of these guys, typically they pick the team after the first round because they want to have a bit of, you know, they're going to play some games before and stuff like that. So a lot of the guys picked will be either didn't make the playoffs or got eliminated in the first round. And then they'll leave a few spots open for guys that get eliminated at the end of the second round. So for that reason alone, there might be some guys that you'd think, oh, well, they should probably be on the team, but there'll only be so many spots available after, you know, at the end of the second round. Of the CHL playoffs. So goal is the one question mark. Again, it seems to be a common theme with Canadian teams recently, but I don't, Carter George is a good junior goalie. And certainly if he makes the, if he gets invited there, he'll probably be one of the better goalies at the tournament. So that, that right there, Spencer Gill's another guy, right? There's a few teams that are 5-6 and they might end up fourth or whatever, you know, before the playoffs, because there's so, the playoff races are so tight. But even if you are a fourth ranked team, again, second round, you're likely playing the top seed unless there's real big upsets, and you're probably gone after the second round. So all of these guys, there's a decent bet that they'll be available when the team's being picked, and when there's, you know, when they're adding guys later, and they all are good prospects. So what do you think of that that group, Rocco?
Yeah, I mean, if we're just doing the qualifier with the, you know, the fifth ranked teams and below, I mean, there's nothing not like about the forwards for sure. Like you mentioned, they've got really every dimension that you would want from a forward group at a tournament like this. I mean, you got three good scoring lines there and a solid big fourth line if you want it. The defense to me is lacking a star. There's no star, I don't know, on that decor, but it's deep and it's solid. And there's some bigger players there too. So you like that. And those guys can move the puck all well enough to get them up to the forward. And guys like Muse and Cristoforo, even though maybe I don't love them as much for NHL projections as junior players and at a tournament like this, they probably do stand out and look quite good there. So hopefully those two can maybe carry some of the offensive load, and then the other guys can just be big and solid, and that's fine. The forwards are good enough. The skaters there are really.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Really solid goaltending, like you said, it's always seems to be a question mark for Canada lately. But as much as it has it's been a question mark coming into a lot of tournaments, it seems to be that there's tournaments where guys end up playing well enough that it doesn't hurt the team's chances to win. And that's ultimately, I think, what you're looking for. And I think Carter George would give you that at this tournament. He, like Grant said, he'd be one of the better goalies at the U18 tournament, anyways. And you know, NHL potential, that's a different conversation, I think, for this tournament. He's more than capable to carry the load for them. If that's ends up being the way that it shakes out, but that would be the one area. And again, the defense you'd like to have, I mean, I'm sure they would love, and we'll see a couple names on the next list. I'm sure Hockey Canada is hoping for one maybe big upset so they can get a bigger name defenseman in there to be a true number one. But other than that, there's not much to dislike. I think they have as good a chance as anyone.
Mm-hmm. Imagine having a fourth line, checking line, like with, you know, Josephson, Wetch, and Spence, or, you know, McQueen, yeah, or something like Beaudoin. Like, holy jeez. Yeah. You know, like you say, there's all, they've got the potential of that group there is, you know, some really good two-way guys, some size, some grit, some offense. There's just a little bit of everything in that group. And if that's the group that they get to select from, not hard to come up with 12 names from that four group.
I think Luchenko and Greentree would be a fun pair to play together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, higher up though, like not.
No, not on your second line. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not saying below, but that'd be, you know, you pair up Patton and Aguinaldo, I think, makes a pretty natural tandem, and I think Luchenko and Greentree would as well. And you,
sure.
Fill out around that, and you're doing okay. Josephson and Beaudoin would probably pair fairly well together on a checking line as well. So there's some good. There's some good, and I'm a fan of that. I like kind of tandeming guys and then rotating the best fit sort of thing for them rather than having set groups of three. But that's a different topic. There's some. It'd be a fun team to watch. I think better than last year's. I believe.
Definitely.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, last year's had Celebrini, right? But this year, I think. I mean, we can. Are we ready for the long shots list?
Sure.
Do we want
to? I just want to say it one yep. time while we had that up. We're finally calling Katten a number one center, so everyone can be.
Everybody in the comments, take it back.
Katten can be Canada's number one center, so there it is.
Yeah, yeah. I think we can all agree on that one. So let's look at some long shots. Obviously, Celebrini headlines this list, right? Obviously, it's unlikely that he makes the team, that BU gets bounced, but anything is possible, right? And if they do get bounced, then that's a welcome addition if there's anyone, right?
Well, I mean, they have to make the Frozen Four for him not to be available. It's I think what's more likely is that he just his agent will say, no, you know, thank awesome. You, but no, he's thank you.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a better possibility to go to the Worlds than he is to go to the U18s. You know, I mean, Fantilli went to the Worlds, Power went to the Worlds. You know, it seems like the Chicago Steel guys that come up through that system, that seems to be, they all end up going to the Worlds in their draft year, which is kind of cool. And I had an NHL scout when I sent this list. He said, Celebrini won't be there. You know, so no, I know, but you got to put his name there and then explain why, you know, or we'll get the, just like the, why isn't Katten in your top 10, we get the, why isn't Celebrini on your list? Well, we're explaining why he is on the list, but don't be expecting him at the U18s. That's why he's under longer shots. Not necessarily because BU will be in the Final Four. I mean, it's a tough go. They'll have to get, it's hard to get to the Final Four. There's some really good teams, and they're second ranked right now, but they could get bounced first round, and we've seen it many times. So Letourneau, I got some quick some inside info on that just before the podcast. I guess he's a long shot. Apparently, you know, they've been in touch with Hockey Canada and keeping in touch, but he's been told that he's in the mix, but that at this point he's on the quote outside looking in. I guess it's because of the lack of competition, right? That it scares Hockey Canada to bring a kid in to that level of competition. And it's unfortunate because it really is going to, I think, end up hurting his draft stock. The team's not getting to see him play at that level against better teams. But at the end of the day, and we've said it, you know, you've said it lots of times, I've said it many times, it's not where you're drafted, it's what you do after you're drafted, right?
Right.
Like I have a feeling he may not get picked now till the second round because they're just, the teams that St. Andrews College plays against most nights, they're blowing them out 10-1. And
so, let me chime in there for a minute. So if that's a concern now, and I don't know anything about the kid, I'm just making up a scenario in my head, but say you're the kid and you want to be, your goal is to be a first rounder, right? You want to be a first rounder. You want to make this UA team. Why the hell are you playing high school hockey?
Well, maybe that's not his goal.
Yeah, no, and that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. I'm making that scenario, but I mean, if he wants to be, his agent's reaching out to Hockey Canada, seeing if he has a chance to make the team. Obviously, he wants to be included, and if quality of competition, like, I mean, I've watched a few of those high school games. It's almost impossible to scout because of what you said, the quality of competition, like, is so low. So I don't know. I never understood playing in that kind of Canadian prep school kind of circuit. I don't really get it, especially if you have a chance to be a higher pick. I mean, if your kid that's taking the longer route going through NCAA after, but I mean, if you're a highly touted guy, I, just thinking out loud. I just don't really understand it, because it does hurt your chances to get selected to things like this and to get picked higher up. Not that it matters 10 years down the road, but I mean, still.
No, I know. And I mean, scouts have been lamenting it all year, but the fact is that at least one guy from St. Andrews College has been picked the last 5 or 6 years in the draft. They have a good system, and these guys are going on and making the NHL. So they're developing decently. I mean, entry-level contract, whether you're a first-round pick, a sixth, seventh-round pick, or not even drafted, you make the same salary with your entry-level contract regardless of where you're picked in the draft. So at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter if you're a first-round pick or not. It really doesn't.
No, you know, no, it doesn't at all. I'm not saying that it does. It's just, I don't know, it just seems odd that, you know, if you have the agent trying to get some information on where Hockey Canada might like them, that might have been a consideration before. But I mean, there's a million ways to get to the NHL, and every single path is, you know,
Of course the agent's going to try to find out whether they're interested in having him, they want him in the first, you know. Yeah, and of course they'd like him to get drafted in the first round, but I mean, they have no control over that. I think what's bothering, I've heard that he's not going to play in the USHL down the stretch here either, which I think he played a couple of games earlier in the year.
Yeah.
And I think that might bother scouts as much as anything. But the fact,
do you have any idea why is that a health reason, or they're happy with the body of work that he has already, or what?
I'm not sure. I just heard from a scout today that he's likely not going to, that might be the team making that decision and not him, right? Yeah, I don't know the ins and outs of it. All I know is that you don't expect them to be at the, from what I was told from, well, couldn't be a better source than what I was told, you know. So but let's move on here. We could talk about him all day, but obviously Lindstrom and Basha, if Medicine Hat, I mean, they were a first place team early on, but since Lindstrom got hurt, they've really sunk. So they may not make it past the second round. Lindstrom should be back soon. I've been hearing like any time now. So he'll be back for the playoffs. And if Medicine Hat, the East is really tight. There's some really good teams in the East. So, you know, guys that we showed on the first list could end up being into the third round. And then guys like Lindstrom and Basha are available, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with Senecky too, and Oshawa. They're in first place. But, I mean, the fourth place team in their conference, you know, is like 2 points behind or something. So there's no guarantees that they make the third round of the OHL playoffs either. So Senecky and Morelli, who you see, you know, obviously Dickinson, Morelli would be completely welcome additions to that team. They'd probably be the top pairing, right, for the team if they ended up getting eliminated in the playoffs. Lavoie is another one. Danford from Oshawa. Bernier, who's really come on. Bacomo, you know. So the defense, obviously, if any of those teams or more than one of those teams gets eliminated, those guys are really good bets to all be asked, because several of those guys might be the top ones that they have on, you know, on the team. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Martone, he's the third guy that is an underage that played in the summer that was really good. If Mississauga doesn't make it, him and Luke Misa will be good. You know, Misa is a quick, undersized guy, but he'd be perfect in that kind of an event if they need some speed. I mean, 80-point scorer in the OHL, be hard to pass up him. But you look down the, you know, that list, Parasak obviously having just a fantastic year. Prince George is in first place, so they're probably going to make the third round of the WHL playoffs, but if they don't, Parasak will be getting a call for sure. Mm-hmm. Put Villeneuve on there, but yeah, after the 15-game suspension for putting a bounty on a player, don't be don't be expecting Hockey Canada to be giving him a call, even if he would be a good choice on that team. Walton, also Sudbury. They're a funny team. Sudbury, you know, they've been near the top all year, but typically teams that, you know, win games 8-7, like they've been doing most of the year, they bomb in the playoffs. Like if you can't, if you're not strong defensively, as a rule, you know, when things get tighter, if they can check that top line, Musty, Goyette, and I guess Goyette's on the second line now, but if they can hold Dvorsky and Musty in check, that team's going to be in trouble. So, you know, there's a possibility that Sudbury gets eliminated in the first or second round. And then you'd have to look at a kid like Walton because he's a pretty good skater, right? So, I mean, he's not noted to be real physical, but he's a good skater. And 6'6 kid that can skate and has some skill like him, he might be a consideration for the under-18s because of that. And our boy Goysik there, somebody who's going to be talking about in a little while, maybe a bit of a, you know, one of those late bloomers that might be considered for the team if, you know, if some other teams make it that aren't expected to. Vanacker, he's a lock, I think, if Brantford gets eliminated. You know,
they're in first or second, I think, though.
Right. But I mean, it's tight.
Yeah, the East is always tight. I mean,
you know,
the top three or four.
There's going to be one of the top four teams that likely loses in the first two rounds, at least one. Because, I mean, the fifth place teams almost got the same amount of points as the first. So, you know, it's anybody's guess who comes out of the East. O'Reilly, obviously, with London will be considered. Boyar. You know, not the hardest guy, but maybe in that type of tournament, he would excel just like he did at the top prospect game. Same kind of event, really. Procession, you know, be a great bottom line guy if North Bay gets upset. And then Gardner and Leenders, maybe the two best goalies, you know, in the draft class. So, if Saskatoon or Mississauga gets eliminated again, Mississauga is probably the better, you know, better odds of Mississauga not making it. But one of those two guys or both will get picked for the team, I think, if they get eliminated. So between, you know, the two lists, there is just so much talent. I can't recall, you know, in the last decade, there being this depth of Canadian talent that might be available for the U18. So it's very, it's very encouraging.
Impressive. And if anybody's wondering, hey, where's Zane Parekh? He's playing at the Mem Cup. So that's why he's
and Misa not on the as well. List, okay.
Anybody? Yeah, that's it. So I just want to feel, you know,
and
Misa, take your head on that.
Misa played in the summer as well, but obviously those two won't be available because the Memorial Cup. So. What did you you have something else to add there?
No, I would just say there's probably only one team that hockey. I mean, the list there is so good; it honestly doesn't matter almost what teams lose out. You're going to be able to put a really good roster together, I think. The one team Hockey Canada might really be cheering against though is London, because I do think Dickinson might be the one true guy that would be a number one defenseman there. And otherwise, you have a really good everyone else. They probably could have five or six guys who would be number two or three on most, you know, if you slotted them sort of where they would fit in. But Dickinson would be the only one who'd probably be a true number one. So maybe London stinks out, probably not because they're London, but it'd be nice if Dickinson could play. But otherwise put the names in a hat and pick them out and you're going to have a good team. Like you said, it's very, very deep.
Yeah.
Very encouraging.
And you know, there's guys like Yakimchuk, obviously, that would be invited, but they're late birthdays, so they're not eligible, you know.
Yeah. So the U18 tournament is starting April 25th, and obviously we'll be covering it. All right, so you get your news, you get all your analysis right here on this channel. Rocco, it's time. Rocco's riser of the week. Grant, you mentioned his name, Hiroki Goisick. Let's talk about him a little bit.
Got Hiroki Goisick. I've been calling him Joystick. I can't get it right, but it's Goisick. Right wing number 29 for the Kelowna Rockets. He's a Ginla's line mate, actually, now. Well, he has been lately. 6'3", 198-pound power forward. He's got 21 goals, 50 points in 66 games, but half of those totals, 11 goals, 25 points, came in his last 18 games. So he's really, really, really come on that latter third of the season, really. He is a rookie in the WHL this year. He actually played Junior A last season for Penticton in the Wild West BCHL Independent Hockey League. So there was a bit of a slow start and an adjustment period for him. And I will be honest, I watch Ginla quite a bit earlier in the year, and this guy did not stand out to me at all, almost whatsoever. And I was told to take another look, and that he's really come on, and he really stood out in the couple games that I watched anyways. So the other thing with his totals, he's only got two of his goals have come on the power play this year. So he's doing almost all of his damage, at least in the goal scoring department. And there's one there. He's doing it almost all 5-on-5, which you really like to see, because you wonder what would happen if he was given a bigger power play role. I mean, he does play a little bit on the power play now, but he hasn't, obviously, for the most part of the year. Now, in terms of strengths here, size at 6'3", almost 200 pounds, that's obviously a big plus. Grant's going to be happy. I looked at the Central Scouting Database. Those are official heights and weights. 6'2 and 3/4, but I'm going to round up and call that okay. So size and strength are massive pluses for him, especially at the junior level. He is growing into a man's body much quicker than a lot of guys. So that gives him a big advantage here, big time. He has a very, very good shot, actually, as well, which one thing I noticed, and I watched some of his – well, I watched all his point highlights for the year, and he gets the thing off quick, and it's heavy. And I think that's a nice attribute for him. I'm not saying that he doesn't have Austin Matthews' shot, but he's got an NHL caliber shot. He's going to be able to bury the puck when given the opportunity to do so. Really, really like his effort level. He was pretty consistent in that department in the games that I watched, both ways too. So you like that. He wasn't just committed offensively. Now that he's scoring points, he still kept attention to detail in the defensive game. There's a couple plays here. He breaks up, has a very good stick. He dives across to break up a wide open pass one time as well. That's quite a nice play. A couple turnovers. So he's committed to doing it at both ends. And I think he knows he's going to have to in order to really progress. So you like to see that. Physical play is a plus. Not much drives me nuts more than a 200-pound guy who doesn't play like it, but he does. So you're happy to see that. He's very physical. He's hard to handle along the boards. I heard a scout say one time 90% of the game is basically played within 3 feet of the boards, and this guy is really good within 3 feet of the boards. Strong on the puck. He defends it well. He's good at turning it over down low too. He's strong on the cycle. He drives the net, drives the post from below the goal line, jams pucks in front. He puts them in the dirty areas, and he goes to the dirty areas. So that kind of makes me think that this type of points that he gets seem like they would translate to a pro game. He's not scoring a ton. You're not seeing this guy do the Michigan, I'll put it that way, sort of thing. He's scoring hard work points, and that you like to see with a bigger body. That's a nice combination. Now, his skating is not going to hurt him. I think it's average. I don't think it'll hold him back. It's good. It's good enough. He's not the fastest player in the world. I think as he gets older, he'll get a little less tired. He gets a little tired at the end of his shifts, where he gets kind of big man, heavy legs, which can happen with bigger guys. It's not uncommon at all. So I'm not really concerned about it, because at the beginning of his shifts, he does have some buzz and he's got a little pep in his step. Average puck skills, good enough, but just average. Can make a pass, but he's not going to wow you with any sort. He's not going to look like Kucherov out there, and that's fine. But he wins a lot of battles, cycles a puck well. To me, he's got some middle six upside, because he can shoot and he can bang around and he can dig and he gets possession of the puck. So a lot of times, maybe a guy like that who's not quite as skilled, you play on your second or third line with some more skilled guys, and they can fit in and contribute in that sense. So a little versatility, but probably projects more as a bottom six guy. As of right now, just based on the few games that I watched from the last his last few, I'd probably put about a third round grade on him. But I mean, if he keeps scoring at a point and a half a game through the playoffs, maybe that, you know, maybe someone takes him a little bit higher than that. And conversely, if he falls off and drops off, maybe he goes a little bit lower than that. But he's comfortably inside the top 100 for me. I like him in the top half of the draft for sure. It's nice. I like seeing guys that really come on second half, especially when they played in a different league last year. You get that adjustment period of the way, you get the confidence, you get going, and then you really kind of see what they can do when they're given an opportunity. Because they got to earn their way up their own team first, right? You're not just handed the opportunity. So you spend all season working hard and playing the right way. You get rewarded with ice time and situational play, and he's taking advantage of it. So I'm excited to see what he can do in the playoffs. And I think the playoff game is going to suit him just fine.
Yeah, and especially big guys like that come on as the year goes along, because he's growing into his body, right? Yeah. And presumably his skating will continue to improve as he gets a little stronger. Those are impressive highlights. I'm glad you picked that game, because I saw that game, and then that was, you know, I told you after I was talking to some scouts saying, hey, this guy's really coming on, and I got some confirmation of that. Told Rocco to have a look at him and see if he thought that he'd be a good guy for Riser. And, you know, I got back the text, oh, I like this guy. You know? So yeah. It was, I'm glad you do. And we didn't have him in the rankings, and we're going to plop him solidly into the third round for now, maybe even 70 range. Because there are some things to like there, and once you get past the top 60,
I would maybe put him in, so, like, in the same tier, and I don't care which one you put ahead, because I have time for the debate for either guy being ahead right now. But him and Walton would be kind of the same range of player for me, where they're a bigger guy with some upside. Now they bring some. They're not the same player. I'm not trying to say they are, but they're in that same range,
right?
Comfortably in the third round, sort of thing, in the mid 70s is where I kind of plopped him in. After watching, I watched his last three games, including the one that we featured here. So that's kind of what I got away from it. But there are some things like wouldn't shock me whatsoever if he goes somewhere between 50 and 65 in the end of the second round, sort of thing.
Well, he's a riser, a good rocker riser there for sure.
Yep. Lot to like from Hiroki Goisik. Goisik. Anyways, that's a learning curve there. But Hiroki Goisik from the Kelowna Rockets, Rocco's riser of the week. Great pick as always. Grant, it's time for your prospect of the week. And we mentioned him before already. Michael Hage. Let's have a look.
Yeah. I believe I said Hague, but I've heard both said Hague and Hage, but I think it's Hague. That's certainly what they were saying in the broadcast here. So presumably they know. He's with Chicago Steel. Three out of the last four that a Southern Ontario boy has played, has gone the Chicago Steel route. You know, you can add him along with Fantilli and Power. I mean, he's their leading scorer this year. In the last 23 games, he's got 20 goals and 20 assists. So, and moved up to third place in the USHL in scoring. So, I mean, when you look at these highlights, the first thing that jumped out to me, very first shift, was his skating. He's a smooth, powerful stride, good puck skills, good motor, and a heavy, accurate shot with a great release. So you like the skill level, you like the skating. And he's listed at 6'1", 187 by Central, but I have a feeling he's a little bigger than that. I think he's at least 6'5", probably 6'1", but he's going to be 200-pounder. Like you look at the frame there. He's a big kid. So I like him a lot. I think he's come on as the season went along. He's really highly regarded and thought of as a top 20 guy going into the year, but then he started off the season with just, well, when I say just, but when you're highly touted, he had 10 points in his first dozen games. But since then, he's at 55 and 36. So you like to see players improving the production-wise during the season. The other knock on him early on was that he wasn't competing hard enough away from the puck. Now, this is a game against Green Bay, March 13th. They won 4-2, and he had 2 goals and 2 assists. So there was one there. Obviously, that impressed me, but his play away from the puck was pretty decent here. There he ran a guy into the boards, and you can tell that he didn't really, you know, sorry about that, you know. He didn't want to fight with the guy or anything, but I don't think he meant it. But I liked his play away from the puck. He hustled. Here's a good rub out into the boards. So he's got a little bit of physical edge to him. I think it's there for him to be a solid two-way center because he's got decent size and he's a good skater. It's just a matter of figuring that part out, you know. I mean, when we're kids, you want to score goals, right? And that emphasis on that. But as time goes along and he gets higher up and, you know, up the food chain here with leagues, he'll keep improving that, I think, because it'll be drilled into him. The physical skills are there for him to be a good two-way center. I think in a middle line role, that he's got the skill level to be at that, you know, to have that upside at the NHL level. So had him towards the end, you know, the 30 range. And earlier on, he was mid second because of his slow start. But now I'm hearing there's a very good chance that he could be a top 20 guy, you know, and looking at it here's an idea of his release and his shot on this replay. Beautiful shot there. So I ended it off with a couple of his goals in other games just to kind of give you a better, that was a nice no look pass that he made there. And again, this, the toe dragging shot on that one, NHL level skill, you right here, just ving and then found the corner. Beautiful goal there. So that gives you an idea of his skill level, right? And I think everyone's got him in the first round now comfortably. You know, if it's not in the 20s, it's probably in the top 20. So we've moved him up. He's Grant's riser this week, you know. I don't want to steal Rocco's riser thunder.
Grant's grower.
Yeah, there you go. Oof, and, you know, he's heading to Michigan. So they've got a pretty good rep for turning out solid prospects. And an interesting side note, one of his line mates is Charlie Major. And, you know, those two make sweet music together, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Michael Hage or Hague.
Get that one? You get
that one? We need to get him on. Right. Sorry. It's maybe Juliana got it.
On a major scale, it's not. Come on, Shane. Even I got that one.
I don't know. Maybe I need more sleep. I'm too tired. Whatever you want to say it.
Sorry, Grant. I expected lots of laughter there, but geez, it was like stone face. No, actually, I didn't. I that was just about the right reaction that I expected, but that's fine.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So, Michael Hage or Hague, prospect of the week, riser of the week, Grant's grower, however you want to call it. I don't think we're going to use that anymore.
Oh, let's get rid of that one.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's a good call. That's a good
one time only.
So
yeah.
Yeah. Grant's highlight, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. He deserves some praise and he just got some. So great stuff there. Grocco, thank you for your time, my friend. As always, great insight from you. We'll see you next week. Take care.
Right on. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right.
Keep on smiling.
So, yeah.
He's a little more cheerful this week. I told him to, you know, more smiles there, young lad. You're on camera.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's it. We're having fun here. We're having fun. We get to talk about hockey, right? How much more fun do you want to have? But yeah, Habs fans, it's time. Our Habs prospect of the week. Not the first time we mention him, but we both feel as if he's not getting enough praise, and that is Oliver Kapanen. So talk to us about him.
Yeah, Oliver Kapanen's here to stay. Oliver Kapanen's on his way. That's I used that
I like it
for a caption in one of my stories the other. I didn't know if anybody's Elvis Costello fan, but I didn't get any feedback on it. But I thought that was anyway. Oliver's Army, Oliver Kapanen. Every time it runs through my head whenever I Oliver Kapanen with a song, but I digress. I get on to Oliver Kapanen. I didn't have time to get notes made up for it, so I'm kind of winging it. You could probably tell by that opening remark. These are highlights of his second last game. Kalpa had to play in a qualifier to make the Liga playoffs. They finished outside of the top six, so they played in a qualifier team, beat them two straight, and Mr. Kapanen had a goal and assist in each game and the game-winning goal in both games. So how can you not give the nod to this kid for player of the week? He was exceptional in these games. These are the highlights from that game. But what has always struck me about Kapanen is his two-way play is just excellent. And it's one of the reasons why, as a 20-year-old, he plays a top two center role and, 20 plus minutes a lot of nights on Kalpa. That's rare for a 20-year-old, especially at center. Look at this end-to-end. Yeah. Nice rush. He didn't score, but darn close. But you can see the improvement in his skating that has come along this year. That was the one knock in his draft year that he needed to get stronger. Stride needed to get stronger, and it has. He's as far as I'm concerned, he's an above average skater in Liga now at 20 years of age. So that's that's great. But you see by these highlights, he had a lot of chances in this game, and he hadn't even got a point at this point in the match. Later on in the game, look at this, where he handed the blocker back to his goalie. He had the wherewithal to notice that the goalie had dropped. I'm not sure if it was his glove or his blocker, but he picked it up and handed it to him and then tried to block the shot at the same time, which I thought was just shows you how smart he is and heads up as a young player, you know. But you can tell by all these highlights, it's good defensive plays and offensive plays. I just love his positioning. He finds there's the goal. That was the winning goal. He finds the scoring spots on the ice. He stays in the middle for the most part. Very rarely does he get caught out of position, but he's also very strong on the forecheck. Like, centers don't typically be the first guy in, but he often is, and he's got the speed and the will to get back and back check. And there's the other point that he got. So last two goals, he got points on. They ended up winning. Now here are the 2 points that he had in the second game. There's the goal. And then this play here is the other one where he ends up getting the, He goes to the right places. He's very smart. So, especially considering his age, for him to be one of the better players, I think, one of the better centers in Liga at 20 years of age, and he doesn't turn 21 till June or July, it just gives you an idea of just how much growth there is still available in his game, but that he's a safe prospect. Like, he's going to play in the NHL. I mean, it's a guarantee as far as I'm concerned. His floor is extremely high. It's just how high up in the lineup will he go? Like, if Doc ends up being a center, if he gets his faceoffs better, is Kapanen going to beat him out for a top two center spot? Probably not. And then he'll have to fight with Owen Beck for the third line center spot. For me, as far as I'm concerned, I think they can both be exceptional third line centers on a on a contender. Mm-hmm. So you got two of them, right? Maybe one of them ends up on the wing. But they're both just so good both ways as centers. If you go down the middle, you've got Suzuki, Doc, Beck, and Kapanen. I just think that's just a recipe for, you know, being a contender down the road. You fill in the spots on the wing, that couple spots that you still need in the top nine. Maybe get another, you know, I don't know if Luke Tuck develops into a bottom six winger, but he might be the type of guy you're looking for with the size and physical play speed that he has. So there aren't that many missing spots, I don't think, going to in the future. If Joshua Waugh keeps improving, they pick up another guy, they draft a kid, another forward in the top 10 this year. There's a lot of really nice pieces going forward. And I think Oliver Kapanen's going to be one of them. So interesting hockey prospects, or no, hockey elite prospects. That's it. Put out a rumor yesterday that he's going to head to Timrå next year. And I think that's people reading tea leaves with the fact that his father is the GM in Timrå. So he must want to go, but I'd be surprised. I think he's coming to Laval before the end of this year.
I do too.
Would be my guess. As soon as this season's over, I think he's going to be in Laval and be over here for the rest of his career. The Kapanens are a hockey playing family. You know, they played in the NHL. His first cousins are playing in the NHL. They don't stay. You know, they come over to play in the NHL.
That's it.
Sammy Kapanen, obviously his uncle, played a long time in the NHL. So I don't see his dad wanting it to, you know, well, you'll help our team, come and play for our team. He's going to want what's best for Oliver. And as far as I'm concerned, going to Laval at the end of this year and then playing next year, Laval or Montreal, is the route for him to go. So if I were to guess, I would say that he's not going to play at Timrå next year, that's just a rumor based on the fact that his dad is the GM there and not much else.
Yeah. No, I think he'll be in Laval, like you said, as soon as this year, probably. So, I mean, he's ready, right? You can see it in the clips. He's ready for that next step to play pro in North America. So yeah, exciting stuff again. And another underrated prospect. It seems, you know, a lot of Habs prospects are put under microscopes, right? The higher picks and all that, but this guy he should be getting just as much as attention. I think he's got great upside. So it's very, very exciting. Now, in the beginning of the show, I did say we weren't really going to talk about it, but come on, we have to mention him a little bit. David Reinbacher has made the transition to North America about damn time. And I know that people want to hear you, Grant. What do you expect from the rest of this season, right? Forget the next season, but the few games that the Rocket has left, what role would you like him to play? What would you like him to do there?
Well, you know, it was nice of you to wait till after Rocco was gone, because the Sens have so few prospects coming up, it would just make him feel bad, right? So
Ooh, dig.
That was very kind of you to think of waiting till Rocco signed
very
off.
Very considerate guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Reinbacher's one of Grant's growers, you know. You know, it was neat there. He got in the team picture for Laval. Did you see that?
That's true. Right on time. Yeah.
But the big R on his, just like recruits, the big R on the, you know, stands for Reinbacher, maybe. Eh?
There we go.
You can think that he's got the big R on his sweater now.
It's no, not recruits yet.
I think he'll, geez. I mean, when's the last time Montreal had on the AHL team, they had a right side with, three first round picks on it? Never, first of all. But nope. Reinbach, Barron's going to be third line, third pairing defenseman.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He's a first round pick.
Yeah.
You know, may you, Reinbacher, Barron on your right side in Laval.
Scary. Scary.
It's just so, you know, there's just so much promise there, right? And then we might see Engstrom and Hudson yet too join Laval, you know, before the end of the year. Maybe.
Wow.
Meshar, you know,
Struble's going to come back down. Yeah.
Struble will come back down. Maybe Roy or Yelonen. I like that somebody mentioned it, and I think that makes sense that maybe you, you'd lose them. You might lose them on waivers, but I don't think at this point that's the end of the world if Yelonen gets picked up by another team, because I don't know that he has a future in Montreal, but he could sure help Laval. And
oh, yeah, definitely.
Was playing better. Maybe instead of, but you know what? He wouldn't have been. Was he papered? That's the thing.
What?
Like, I don't. Yelonen.
Yeah. No, not the only ones who were Joshua Roy and Jan Struble.
Right. So Yelonen couldn't even.
I don't think
be
so.
Eligible for the playoffs. I don't think if they sent him back down because they didn't. He wasn't papered. Yeah, that could be. I know somebody had mentioned it. I thought it was a good idea, but the more I think about it, I don't think he would be eligible for the playoffs. I mean, they could send him back down to help him get into the playoffs. And that's a possibility, you know. And then when the season ends or there's still two games Laval left, then send Roy back down for the last two games in the playoffs. So maybe they go that route. But yeah, I could see Struble getting sent down too. And wow. That, you know, yeah, it's a young defense corps, but boy, oh boy.
So much talent, yeah.
Just, yeah, so it would be just great if all those guys were in Laval. Yeah, I think Reinbacher, there'll be an adjustment period for him. The small ice, the physical game in the AHL, things will be happening pretty quickly for him, but he's pretty poised and strong and a good skater. Like the physical elements are there for him to step in and be effective. Yeah. I think
he's got,
so mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think he'll look good. Be interesting to see if he gets any power play time or stuff like that. They may ease him into that and the PK as well. I don't see them, you know, I mean, they've got Mayu, right, as the stud on the right side for them.
Yeah.
So they may ease him in a bit and play him 15 to 20 minutes and not, you know, 23 plus right away. But I expect him to look decent and to help the team get in the playoffs. This weekend, the timing is great because they go to three-game road trip three nights in a row. And two against Belleville and one against Toronto, the teams that they have to beat out for that last spot.
Fun games, yeah.
Pivotal games. And I mean, what better atmosphere for to go from Cloten that, you know, was out of the playoffs basically since January to the middle of a heated playoff race. I think it's kind of cool that the first three games, too, for him will be on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll be a little bit adjusted, adapted for the next weekend when Belleville comes to Laval and, you know, back-to-back games. And
yep.
I'm going to try to get out to that. We're seeing if we can't get something arranged so that I can get out and maybe do a podcast with Tony. And maybe we can do, you know, maybe we can do a recruits draft cast that weekend as well, but I'm going to see if I can't get out to see his debut. And are you going on the Friday night?
I'm trying to. Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. I hope you can make it out, and I hope I can. And see you there, my friend.
That'd be something. I'm excited. I know Habs fans are excited. This, I'm sure David's excited, right? Getting out of that terrible situation over there. Just getting on a winning team, right? A team that's actually competitive makes a ton of difference, right? Because I remember when I played, at a you know, small level, right? But whenever I was on losing teams, I didn't want to go to practice. I didn't want to go to games. It wasn't fun anymore, right? But when you're competitive, when you know you got a shot, you got a good team, it's like, okay, like I actually have the love for hockey is back, right? I want to go to the arena. I want to play hard. I think this can do just wonders for his development and for the team as well, because let's not forget, he is one hell of a player. So very, very excited to see David play for Laval as soon as this weekend, hopefully. So I think a lot of Habs fans are going to be tuning in for that. I don't even know if it's broadcasted since it's away games, but whatever. We're going to keep an eye on that for sure.
I'm sure RDS or whoever will, because of this, top five pick in Laval. I remember that they made special broadcasts when KK and Caulfield came down.
Yeah.
So I would think at least one of the games will be on one of the French sports networks.
Makes sense. Makes sense. All right. That's about going to do it for us this week. Don't forget, right? April 25th, the U18 tournament starts and we're going to be covering it. We're going to be talking all about that stuff. It's going to be awesome. I cannot wait for that. Let us know in the comments how you think David Reinbacher will fare in Laval, what your expectations are for that for him. We'd love to know. And as always, go check out recruits.ca for all of your Habs and draft coverage. There's, you know, scout testimonials. There's player profiles on there. Everything you need to know, you will find on recruits.ca. Grant, any parting remarks from you? Grant Scrower?
Well, we want to keep it under 60 minutes here, and it's close. So,
well, thank you all for tuning in. Yeah, we'll see you next week. Take care.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast, Recruits Draftcast on YouTube, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.